Emergency klaxons blared as siren lights flashed throughout the underground super science facility of Pequod Transplanetary. A man in a black leather jacket fled from heavily armed security officers. He held an oblong metal device beneath his arm.
Alert! Alert! The doctor is in Coalfield Base 715!
Pulling from his jacket a second, smaller device, the doctor pointed it towards the ceiling and activated it. The smaller device emitted a blue light, a low whine, and then a blast door slammed closed behind him. His destination lay at the end of the corridor, an anachronistic blue box waiting for him just outside of the facility's Xenotech filter. He pushed forward through the home stretch, but as he slid his key into the TARDIS lock, a woman with red hair, put up into a tight ponytail, appeared in a flash of blue light. "Dr. Bryce," the doctor began, pushing the TARDIS door open. "One day soon, someone's going to come and take that vortex manipulator off you." Bryce ignored the veiled threat and moved to take the device from under the doctor's arm, but he retreated over the threshold of the TARDIS.
"Give that back, Doctor! We..."
The doctor had no time for her pleas and countered them with what he'd learned about her current employers.
"We what? Tell me, Dr. Bryce, what sort of science did you intend to conduct with a bomb that wipes out planets? What's best practices for the study of a weapon meant for genocide?"
The doctor had no time for Dr. Bryce's inevitable array of annoying excuses. As she began them, he slammed the TARDIS door shut. Making his way to the console, he deposited the metallic oblong on the seat and began programming in coordinates, or at least, programming them in as best as he could with his TARDIS, temperamental as ever. He was at least fairly certain that this living machine knew where he needed to go. His destination was a place he could permanently destroy his newly acquired cargo and never worry about it again. With its destruction, he could return and deal with Dr. Bryce. It had been Bryce's activities that had brought the doctor to Pequod Transplanetary's research laboratory. She was one of the most infamous criminals of any of the human empires. Her atrocities were legendary, and her pioneering of portable vortex manipulator technology ensured that she was never around when the authorities arrived. Even now, when she finally tangled with the doctor, she got away. The doctor shook his head. He could have brought her to justice, and would in the future. However, once he had discovered the terrible weapon she had in her possession, he'd been forced to change his plans. No one could ever be allowed to activate this device, especially not someone like Dr. Althea Bryce. Big Finish presents Doctor Who Short Trips. Her Own Bootstraps by Amy Veris. Read by Jacob Dudman. Somewhere else, somewhen else, a deserted island beach was interrupted by the telltale mechanical wheezing of the TARDIS landing. Stone-faced and full of purpose, the Doctor exited. The Time Lord carried a spade in one hand and the metal oblong in the other. He looked up to confirm his location by the layout of the stars in the evening sky. The scanners weren't the latest component to go faulty. He was exactly where he needed to be. Krakatoa, 1883. 2 hours before the eruption. The Doctor crossed the beach towards the base of the volcano. The plan was simple. Bury the atmosphere destroyer, for that was the name of this destructive abomination, and let the volcano do the rest.
"It's nearly over," the Doctor said to nobody in particular. "Finally. An end to it all."
There was a sense of hesitant joy in that last statement, like he was expecting some complication to come and take away this rare moment of happiness. Almost on cue, a high-pitched, nasal voice chimed in, sounding younger than before, but unmistakably the same woman.
"What's nearly over?"
The Doctor turned towards the voice, even as he heard it continue.
"And what are you even doing here, dude? In an hour or two, this volcano is going to explode and take anyone nearby with... Hey, What's that you got under your arm?
A small display shimmered into life on her wrist with a tiny beep.
And that's... Oh, wow. That's a TARDIS behind you!
Any trepidation and alarm that might be normally expected was replaced with childlike glee and inquisitiveness. The red ponytail, the same voice, the laissez-faire attitude around elaborate alien technology. How had he missed the telltale zap of the vortex manipulator behind him? A trick of the wind or the sound of his footsteps? It didn't matter. The doctor grimaced as he stared down a younger version of the scientist he'd stolen the atmosphere destroyer from.
Dr. Althea Bryce at your service. And who are you?
The younger Althea inquired playfully.
Nope, absolutely not. I'm not taking part in this. Thank you, goodbye.
The doctor broke into a brisk jog away from whatever madness was unfolding. The younger Althea followed, full of curiosity and questions the doctor was never likely to answer.
Come on, that's a TARDIS. I thought I was history's best scavenger, but here you are with the holy grail of Time Lord tech. Where did you get it?
I stole it,
the doctor replied.
From where?
Althea pushed.
From somewhere you won't be able to get to.
Have it your way, man. Guess we've all got to protect trade secrets. Speaking of secrets, what is it you're holding? Because I don't know what that is. I bet I can find out, though,
Althea said in a sly tone.
No, you won't. Just go away. This doesn't concern you, the doctor snapped.
Well, you got me, mystery time guy. I guess I'll just have to take it.
Althea reached out with a jerk to grab the box and tried to sprint away in the moment it would take for the doctor to react. Already aware of what would happen, the doctor let her make her escape, even feigning shock at being tricked by such fast movement. He allowed himself a smile as she began to program the coordinates for her home time into the vortex manipulator. His smile widened when she slammed her finger down on the button that would activate it. Would being the operative word. The device didn't work. It presented an error code and a message imploring its user to contact technical support.
Having some trouble?
The doctor asked, suddenly behind her. He swiftly yanked the oblong box back from her grasp before continuing,
If you need to call the support line, I happen to have a phone box right over there.
Althea jumped at the doctor's sudden appearance, but quickly switched to indignation. Trying to save face, she began explaining what must be wrong with her vortex manipulator.
It's just bad timing. The solar winds are no good, maybe, or too much traffic on the Van Allen belt, or it just needs to charge.
You can't get away because there's a time paradox, and that's a Model 7 manipulator. Doesn't come standard with paradox buffers.
Bryce gave her vortex manipulator a withering look.
Oh, of all the lousy... Wait, why would it need paradox buffers?
She looked back at the doctor.
We've met before. Or we will? I haven't met you before, so you must meet me in the future. And that leads you here somehow.
The doctor held up the metallic case to emphasize his point.
I stole this thing from your future self, he explained. You were working for mercenaries, reverse engineering weapons. I took it here to destroy it, and here you are now, ready to steal it to tinker with again. We're in a stable time loop, Althea, a bootstrap paradox. I bury this, you dig it up and take it home with you. Years later, when your lab's on contract with Valentari military unit, I'll steal it and come here to bury it where you'll be waiting to steal it on and on and on and on forever.
Several possible questions ran through Althea's brain. What's in the box? Why was I working with mercenaries? Why did you steal it from me? She settled on the question that had been bothering her since they first met. Who are you?
I'm the Doctor.
Althea recoiled.
As in the Time Lord?
The last of...
Yes, that one.
The doctor quickly interjected, not wishing to dwell on his loneliness. Althea flopped onto the beach in defeat, drawing her legs up to her chest in contemplation. She looked up at him. What did I do so wrong to have you come and find me? He didn't reply. Convinced that Bryce had been rendered harmless, at least for the moment, the doctor sat down next to her. He kept both artifacts stowed by his side, away from their would-be thief. Better safe than sorry.
You met your wife yet?
The doctor inquired after a short yet awkward silence.
What?
Althea's head tilted, the poor girl mortified at the inquiry.
Just trying to figure out where you are in your timeline. Examine my options.
I mean, there's this volunteer for the P4 program, but she's sort of a klutz and...
Althea sputtered as she transitioned to the next thought.
Why am I telling you this? How about you answering me something, Doctor? What's in there?
The doctor flashed her a small, relieved smile. If this Althea was still using volunteers for her projects and was oblivious to the contents of the box, then he still had a chance to make her rethink things, or at least just this misadventure. The doctor gathered his wits and a couple of sticks and pebbles from nearby as props to explain what he had stolen back from Althea's future self. The war was never as simple as Time Lord's good, Daleks bad, he explained. Once timelines started changing, a Gallifreyan High House got the idea to warp reality to suit their goals, as often as they needed. What the Doctor held, what Althea wanted, was their ultimate artillery piece. The Atmosphere Destroyer. If a planet has a layer of gas, chemicals, energy, anything that shields it from cosmic rays and the immense heat of the stars, the Atmosphere Destroyer annihilates it. A lush garden world becomes a desert wasteland. An ocean planet is left bone dry. A planet with a mimetic barrier's collective intelligence goes brain dead overnight, with self-destruction to follow. Peace talks undone because the planet they happened on didn't exist anymore. Allied planets gone before life ever had a chance to bloom. Worlds turned into primordial goo by radio bursts of sentient bad ideas. The only safe thing to do with it was to do away with it.
So...
Althea muttered, humbled by the nature of the weapon she was so eager to play with.
It strips any planetary protection.
The doctor gave a stern nod.
And it speeds up the results of having no atmosphere, no Dyson barrier, no ATF gestalts.
The doctor interrupted.
It doesn't matter what you have protecting the planet, this thing will destroy it and amplify the effects of losing it.
Althea's rapidly shifting expression told him everything he needed to know. He saw fear, ambition, conscience, greed, understanding, and lust for power, all in the same moment.
You stole it from here, and took it here to destroy it. That's the paradox, right? I steal it from you, then in the future you steal it back. So give it here and we can both go home.
Althea held out her hands, nearly pouting. The doctor had spent all that time on something he could fix so easily? For Althea, wasting time was the worst sin imaginable.
If only it were that easy,
the doctor said, sliding the top of the oblong box open and retrieving the contents. In his hand was an impossibly angular ball-like object. Each of its many sides were emblazoned with a runic symbol. Althea noticed that some of the ridges had been finely sliced open.
My handiwork?
She asked. The doctor nodded.
Exposing the inner workings to the effects of the paradox.
Althea didn't need the rest spelled out for her.
Once I crack the seal, the components aren't time-proofed anymore. Even if I put it back together, entropy still starts to take effect. When I steal it back and open it again, time flows for the contents again. A weapon this powerful, but all of the tamper-proofing is on the outer shell. It must be impossibly fragile inside.
Which is why I thought it best to keep it in the stasis case. I don't know if this thing's been through a loop before or how many times. We'll each only experience it once after all, but eventually the components will wear down. It's like you said. The inside to this model has maybe 10 or 12 loops, I figure. Then, detonation. Goodbye, atmosphere. Goodbye, Earth.
The doctor stared into the distance. The outcome was inevitable.
Doctor? Doctor?
Dr. Bryce waved a hand in front of his face. He seemed dazed, lost in thought, and his deepening frown showed that his thoughts were pitching in a dark direction. Dr. Bryce had seen her colleagues go to similar places in their minds when confronted with seemingly impossible problems. And that place was never anywhere good. He glanced at the atmosphere destroyer, which Althea hadn't tried to take. He slipped it into his jacket pocket.
Come on, Althea, we have a lot to talk about.
Pulling himself up with his spade, the doctor set off along the beach and Althea followed. They walked silently for several moments before the doctor began. Wary of letting any more tidbits about Althea's future slip through, he focused on her past.
So what's with all that hopping about history, stealing things, just for the thrill?
Can be fun, but no, nothing like that. Just can't stand not knowing how things work. I rebuilt my first computer 6 times. One day I just got bored of what I get conventionally. Started having to go to black markets to find better components and found this.
She tapped at her vortex manipulator.
And then I had all of history to choose from.
She looked at the doctor.
I just wanted to understand it.
That's how it always starts. You just want to do what you enjoy. Someone realises what you can do and slowly starts twisting it against you. Before you know it, you have the fate of species in your hand and you're the only one left wondering if it's the right thing to do. Althea thought the doctor's reply somewhat judgmental, so rallied against it.
I would never hurt anyone. Sure, I take things, but that's just to learn more.
The doctor stared at Althea, thinking of the countless number of her many future victims.
Say someone hurt your family, would you then?
He asked.
Never, she protested.
The not yet dead continued to haunt the doctor, so he pushed again.
Say they killed your family, threatened to kill all your friends, how about then?
Why are you so convinced I'm going to kill people? I promise I'm not going to hurt anyone, I'm a scientist.
People change, said the doctor. Morph into people they wouldn't even recognise as themselves, do unspeakable things, sometimes in the name of righteous causes. We never realise what monsters we can be until we've become them.
Hey, I'm no monster!
You are. I'm just letting you know in advance.
The pair walked on in silence.
What's that over there?
Althea asked, attempting to divert the doctor away from the protracted character assassination. On the edge of a forest stood empty buildings.
Huh? Oh, it's an old colony, probably abandoned long before the volcano became active.
The doctor shrugged. Althea walked off towards the ruins, and the doctor followed after her. Upon closer examination, Althea found the colony to be utterly wrecked. The only building still standing was a large municipal one built from carved stone. Untamed vines, mould, and large portions where the stone had simply broken apart counted as still standing compared to the flattened wood quarters, storehouses and stables, primarily constructed from wood. Althea tilted her head slightly. Behind her, the doctor folded his arms.
Don't tell me you've never seen the effects of a tsunami before. Nobody as supposedly educated as you could be that sheltered.
The doctor was trying to be kind, but this wasn't something that came easily to him, especially at that particular moment in time.
Tropical storms in the same place as a volcano. This planet's insane.
Althea mumbled.
Never seen this kind of destruction up close. Any kind, really. Prefer staying in the labs.
This is just a natural disaster. It's not even a bad one. The people living there had it bad, but take a look behind you.
The doctor waved his spade towards the inland forest, pointing.
The rest of the island survived. Can't even tell from there that something happened. But the volcano eruption is going to be worse. Exponentially worse. All of this will be gone. The whole island will be barren rock. If something went wrong with this weapon here, we'd make all this look like a complete non-event. It wouldn't be a couple hundred exiled prisoners in danger. Every living thing on the planet, this bomb goes off accidentally or intentionally, all dead in a matter of days. Just long enough for them to suffer. Long enough to make it hurt.
Althea turned to look at the doctor, more wounded by his words than he intended.
I'm not saying you don't have a point. If something like you're describing happened, it would be awful.
Not if. When?
Althea gazed at the wreckage of the colony.
What I did, what I will do, was it like this?
She asked.
Infinitely worse.
What did I do?
Althea fought against every syllable.
Sorry, can't tell you. The web of time.
The doctor's regretful words were met by a furious tirade from Althea.
Yes, you can, Doctor. We're going to die here, or we might not, but will several loops down or whatever. But when that happens, I will never have been able to do whatever it is you're hiding from me. This will all just fade away.
After a moment of contemplation, the Doctor relented.
There was a war, several planets, each at the throats of the other. You armed them all, weapons that none of them would have access to for several centuries. It lasted for hundreds of years and only 5 minutes simultaneously. No one survived.
I did all that?
Not just you. Whole thing was a complicated mess of ego and politics, but you made it all worse. You elevated it from a simple squabble to a galactic massacre. Althea's face contorted in fear and loathing before she lashed out at the Doctor.
Where were you then, Doctor? You weren't supposed to be like the other Time Lords. You got involved, dirtied your hands for a better universe. If I'm destined to be this great evil, why didn't you stop me?
Anger rose through the Doctor, matching Althea's own.
Where was I? I was bloody in my hands in an unimaginable hell, just so there would be a universe. And when I did it, when I broke every promise I ever made, what do I find? A universe that's still trying to kill itself every chance it gets.
He turned towards the forest.
Where are you going?
Althea wasn't finished with the Doctor, ready to press her points home.
I came here to do one thing and I'm going to see it through. I'll deal with you when I get back.
The Doctor walked away, leaving Althea alone to contemplate a future she couldn't even begin to recognise as her own. The Doctor made his way through the forest, following the feeling of temporal irregularity to the point where the distortion was strongest, the epicentre of the paradox, where he was meant to bury the atmosphere destroyer and Althea was meant to steal it, over and over again until something broke. As he drew closer, he felt a pain growing in his mind. He wished time could just fix itself. The pain intensified. He wished these paradoxes simply couldn't happen. His head throbbed with the pain as he pushed onwards. He wished other time travellers had the sense to leave well enough alone. He placed the destroyer on the epicenter. The Doctor doubled over in agony. It felt like his mind was splitting in two from the agonizing psychic pain that stabbed into his head like an ice pick. He fought through the innate feeling of temporal wrongness that was nearly tearing him apart, forcing him to choke on the taste of the paradox he was leaving in his wake. He started to dig. Althea kicked the dirt in frustration. Her? Kill millions of people? The very notion was impossible. And yet, however hard she tried to dismiss it, she couldn't rid herself of the thought. He'd said she was a killer, and the Doctor didn't seem the type to make this sort of thing up. Why did he mention her family? Was something going to happen to them? The more she tried to contemplate the millions of possibilities, the less she wanted to. She logically had to escape somehow, or else she wouldn't come to possess this destroyer thing in the future. She pushed at the buttons of her vortex manipulator, which steadfastly refused to take her away from this nightmare. If only she could get away, she could find a way to come back and prove him wrong. She was sure of it. She set off in the direction the Doctor had headed, all the while working the casing off her vortex manipulator. When she found the Doctor, he was propped up on the handle of his spade. He was clearly in immense pain. In front of him, the destroyer was half buried. She scooped it up and held it in her hand. The Doctor tried to pull himself towards her, but he collapsed in pain. Althea stared at the labour of her future endeavours. No, not her future. A future that she would make sure would never happen. She dropped the weapon back in its shallow grave and turned her attention back to her manipulator. The hasty modification she'd made en route should work, at least for a single trip. It's all it would need to do. She gently pressed the button, and it all went horribly wrong. Theoretically, Althea's modification should have worked. However, Since she had failed to compensate for the volume of temporal energy at the epicenter of the paradox, the vortex manipulator short-circuited. Overwhelmed without the paradox buffers, it folded time around her. A day went by in moments. Her consciousness was propelled forward to the end of the time compression, but her subconscious mind was left rooted in that spot with nothing to do but think about this disaster, about what the doctor had revealed about her future. Once the event ceased, those thoughts rushed into her awareness and whole once again, she had to face the results. She began to cry.
I don't want to build weapons. I don't want to hurt people. That's not why I became a scientist. That's not why I do this. Sure, I'm a thief, but I just want to find time-lost artifacts that can help the universe. I'm not an arms dealer.
The doctor fought against the pain.
Well, you will be, eventually. There's no way out of this. I should know.
The two were quiet as the ground began to shake and rumbling filled the air. Eventually, Althea spoke up.
Leave it here, bury it. Then take me with you. I can't come back and steal it if you're keeping an eye on me.
What? The doctor looked up as the sky filled with black smoke. Althea started to smile, still crying.
We break the loop. You just said, I can't break through the paradox, but you have a TARDIS. It can get us out, no problem. We'll find somewhere else to go, something else to do. And then I don't have to mess with that. I just won't come back for it.
Althea helped the doctor to his feet.
I don't want to be the monster you met before you came here. I only ever wanted to help people, and if stealing this means I change from that, then I won't.
Althea jabbed the spade into the dirt, a makeshift headstone for the buried weapon. Then, with Althea assisting the doctor, they ran for the TARDIS, desperate to get there before Krakatoa's eruption. The two made it back to the beach and ran inside the TARDIS, first the doctor, then Althea. The doctor slammed the door and ran to the controls, while Althea marveled at the control room of the Time Lord craft.
I've heard stories, seen diagrams, but to see the real thing...
Althea grabbed at a railing to steady herself.
Dimensional transcendence. Void manipulation.
The doctor was rushing around the central console. The TARDIS engines wheezed into life.
We did it, right?
She asked.
We broke the loop.
The doctor's face tightened into a grimace. No, you still need to go back and steal it. We can't let the loop collapse. The damage would be incalculable.
But then...
Althea deflated. She'd been so certain she had fixed everything.
Althea, there's something I need to know. The promise you made, did you mean it?
I've never meant anything so much in my entire life.
The doctor's face broke into a broad smile. It suited him.
Time to put history back on track,
he declared with glee, throwing a final switch. As the TARDIS dematerialized, a high-pitched electronic squeal heralded an older Althea Bryce returning to Krakatoa, this time equipped with a heat-proof hazard suit. The spade was still standing where she'd left it, not yet disturbed by the eruption, and she started digging. She found the atmosphere destroyer right away. How could she not, with how shallow he'd made the hole? Admiring it in silence, until an explosion jolted her back to her senses. She tapped her vortex manipulator and returned to her time. It was the day after the doctor had stolen the destroyer from Pequod Transplanetary, and Althea was sitting in her office. There was a knock on the door.
Come in,
she called. The door opened, and in came the doctor, accompanied by a young blonde woman that Althea didn't recognize.
Doctor!
Althea beamed.
And you are?
Hiya, I'm Rose.
The young woman gave a short wave.
Just popped in to check in on you,
the doctor said.
Make sure you haven't been affected by temporal shockwave or temporal feedback or anything else nasty beginning with temporal.
No, I think we got away with it.
Got away with what?
Rose asked.
Sorry, he said we were visiting an old friend of his.
Care to explain, Doctor?
Althea asked. The Doctor gently shook his head.
It's your story.
Very well.
Althea settled back in her chair and began.
We got trapped in a temporal loop together, but we escaped. History had cast me as a monster, and who are we to argue with history?
Well, he seems to do it every week.
Rose tilted her head towards the Doctor. He rolled his eyes playfully.
We had to fake my criminal reputation. It wasn't easy. We had to broker a peace between several planets that were about to declare war, and then make it look like I'd destroyed them all. But it's finally all come together. The Doctor just stole a weapon, which we managed to defuse as soon as we got it back to the present.
If only we'd known,
the Doctor lamented.
It would have saved us both a lot of stress, yes. But as you kept telling me, we can't alter history.
She turned back to Rose.
He's taken it back to Krakatoa, where the loop will begin again.
Krakatoa? Oh, you did that drawing?
Asked Rose.
What drawing?
The Doctor asked in alarm.
When I visited Clive, he had a picture of you at Krakatoa.
The Doctor groaned loudly.
Oh, looks like I got one last bit of history left to fake.
You've had enough practice by now,
Althea laughed.
A few hours later, Althea had said goodbye to the Doctor and Rose. She wandered the halls of Pequod Transplanetary, brimming with joy. Today was the day. The day that the universe could finally see the true face of Dr. Althea Bryce.